Welcome to Thrive Church Online. We are here to know God, to grow in Him, and go. We hope you feel encouraged and equipped through this week's message.
Man, we are so glad that you are here. If nobody has told you yet, happy Father's Day. Man, we love Father's Day. I think it's a day to celebrate dads. I think it's a day to celebrate fathers in our lives. I believe this is a dad, man. You got two stages of fatherhood, and some of us are not have not yet realized it. You're either a dad, or you're probably going to be a dad. I know people that biologically can't have children, but are going to be a dad. My brother-in-law did not have my nephew, but raised him. Spoke passionate Jesus stuff into his life. Taught him how to drive a car and how to wreck a four-wheeler. And because that, man, dads will teach you what you need to know, and dads will teach you some stuff that moms wish they didn't teach you. Because that's what dads are there for. I think moms are there to nurture and to guide and to comfort. And I think that dads are there to give us identity and to press and push and press us beyond what we think is able to go down in our lives. Can we take a minute and just honor all the moms who are also having to serve as dads this morning? Can we just give them a round of applause for every single mom right now? Maybe you're in a season and you're having to be mom and dad. We recognize that today. But I don't think necessarily, that's certainly not God's design. God designed parents or children to be raised by two parents. And sometimes, especially in a world where divorce is at 50 to 60%, depends on what stat you read, that man, it's harder and harder to find kids that are being raised by both parents. I mean, the average is that less than one in two children are going to be raised by two parents consistently in the house. And man, we pray that that changes. That's why we talk about marriage and relationships and all this stuff as often as we do. You'll hear some of that thrown in this morning. But man, the passion here is that, man, dads are important. Because if you watch any sitcom, if you watch any TV at all, if you watch any social media advertising, dads are always labeled the dorky, out-of-touch people. It's just a way we're labeled. Now, I want to say this. There is a difference between a boy and a man. You can be a 15-year-old man or you can be a 40-year-old boy, and they're not the same. Manhood is not about an age that you raise to. It's about the way that you choose to live and pattern your life. Brian Thomas said this in his book, Five Marks of a Man. He said that it is important for men to know when they become men and what constitutes a man. All of our life we've been told to be men. Man up. Be a man. Rub some dirt in it. Be a man. But nobody ever told us what manhood is, so how do we know when we get there? One of the marks of a man that I believe, it's echoed in Brian's book, he said this. He said that men always play the long game. If you really want to know the difference between a boy and a man, men play the long game. Men play the long game. We play not what's right in front of us, but we play what's way down the road. We play for a legacy. And I believe this. I believe that part of raising a legacy is always thinking as a man in a legacy mentality. Now, here's the thing. If you're a young guy, it's hard to think in legacy, especially like if you don't have a girlfriend. If you don't have a girlfriend, it's hard to think about how am I going to raise my kids that I don't have with a wife that I don't have. Because you know what? Because when you're a boy, you know how you think? You think like a boy. Because here's my deal. So I had a kid young. I got married in 1996. If anybody laughs, I just said if anybody laughs. So 1996, I got married. In 1998, I had my one and only child. God said, go forth and multiply. Now, here's the thing. One times one is what? One. I don't understand multiple children. If you want to have them, praise God. I just don't get it. Because I have a theory on the jail that is raising kids. Never let the inmates outnumber the jailers. The only two people that commented either with an amen or it becomes a problem are people with multiple children. And So anyway, here's the reality is that if you're going to play a long game, you have to figure out that men are not something that are to be made fun of, that being a husband is a serious, it's an assignment, and it's an assignment that you prepare for before you get there. And if you find yourself there, then you need to begin to find out how to operate. Anybody ever got a job and you didn't know how to do it, so you kind of faked it till you made it? Can we just be honest? Can we just raise our hands of every dad that's in the room that feels like you're still faking it, that you don't have a clue always how it looks? The only men that are not going to raise their hand are people who don't have children. When I was a youth pastor, I told people this all the time. I said, hey, get all the advice you can for me about your teenager right now, because when I have one, I'm suddenly going to go from being an expert to a novice. Because until you walk a mile in those shoes, you don't understand all the pitfalls. But it's time that men take their role seriously. I'm just going to give you, according to a recent U.S. Census poll of 18.4 million Americans, here's some stats. Just because, dads, you need to understand that you're important. Do you realize that just over 1 in 4 children are going to grow up in a home with no father figure whatsoever? That's no dad. That's no stepdad. That's no foster dad. That's no adoptive dad. That is no dad at all. And they're like just over one in four students that we're going to come in contact with are going to have absolutely no parental father figure in their life. Now, here's the thing you have to understand, that dads always give identity. Dads always give correction. Dads always, there are things that dad brings into the household that only dad can bring. And when we begin to see ourselves as we're bringing something to the table that only we can bring, man, it's gonna raise our own value level so that we can raise the value level of the people around us. I want to throw some stats to you. Of those just over 1 in 4 kids that are going to be raised without a dad, here's some staggering thoughts. They are 4 times more likely to live below the poverty line. If you raise up without a dad, you are 4 times more likely to live below the poverty line. Children that are raised without a dad have 2 times the likelihood of infant mortality. Not because moms are bad, it's because kids were made to be raised in pairs. It's called the sleep shift cycle. They're more likely to go to prison. They're more likely to have behavioral problems. They're 7 times more likely to get pregnant outside of wedlock than kids that are raised with a dad in the family. Why? Can I be honest with you? Part of that, I think, is this, that for girls, dad gives a sense of identity. Now, God did not give me the privilege of raising a little girl. It's probably on purpose, because I would be a terror as a girl dad. Not as a girl dad, but as a dad of a girl. There you go. That could come out weird. But here's the thing, because I'm going to be like this. The boy shows up at my house. Not only am I going to be doing the ritualistic cleaning of the gun when he gets there, but we're going to have some conversations. My daughter has the ability to open her own car door, but she will not do it in your presence. I don't care if it's raining, snowing, or blowing, son. Your job is to open that door. And if your hands are broken, you better figure out, bless God, how to open it with your foot. Because my daughter's going to be treated a certain way. We're going to have conversations about the way she leaves my house and the way she comes back. If you blow the horn, you better have a pizza in your car. You better not be picking my daughter up. There's no drive-through service. Now, son, if you're going to date a young lady, here's the way you're going to treat her. You're going to open the doors. Not because she can't, but because you're going to honor her. Because if you can't open a door, we can't trust you with the rest of her life. Hey, there's a way you're going to talk to her. There's a way you're going to treat her. There's a way you're going to respect her. We're going to talk about what dates look like. We're going to talk about what dates are not going to look like. Because there are boundaries we're going to draw before you get there. And it's my job as a dad to help you understand what that looks like and how to navigate it. And how to navigate the pressures that are there. And how to, right? Because people that are born with dads in life are 7 times less likely have a child outside of wedlock. I think part of it is they're getting the love that they need that they don't have to look for in other places. Now, does everybody that gets pregnant out of wedlock, is that because of a dad? No, man, it's not because of a dad's failure. Sometimes life just happens and people do things in the wrong order. But man, we love those people, right? Like we love people below the poverty line, and we love people above the poverty line. We love single parents, and we love not single parents. We love people, but we want to try to navigate so that we live a life that our Heavenly Father loves us enough to lay out well. It's like this. Did you know that you're 2 times more likely to drop out of high school if you don't have a dad in your life? The number one question on job applications is, have you graduated high school? It's no wonder that people fall below the poverty line when they're not even finishing their education, because dad's not there sometimes just to give them a little kick in the butt to get them through. So here's what I want to ask. I want to ask one question. Are you, if you're a dad and you're here, are you living life with a legacy mindset? Are you living life to leave something after you're gone? Are you building something bigger than what you are? Because boys build stuff for themselves. When I was single, I looked totally different. When I got married, my wife's wedding ring was purchased with the down payment that I wanted to put on a Mustang. But let me tell you something. Boys understand this, that what is cool in 1990-whatever is not going to be cool in 2000-whatever. But a real relationship will hold its value. So which one do you invest in? Well, a boy buys a car, a man buys a ring. Does this make any sense? Men, when we're thinking, even if you're a single guy and you're here today, man, it's time that you started thinking in a legacy mindset, and you started thinking like a man rather than a boy. Scripture says this. Proverbs 13:22, we'll read this way. I love this scripture. I quote it all the time. A man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but a sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. Now, we know that in this, we're talking about money, right? That a good father stewards his money. Well, if you struggle with money, I'm just going to give Dave Ramsey, Total Money Makeover. You need to book, read the book, buy the book, own the book, read the book. Read the book, read the book, apply the book, read the book, until you get yourself in a good financial place. The answer to you getting out of your financial situation very rarely is make more money. It's just steward what you've got better. Can I say this? The answer to most marriages is not trade your spouse, but invest enough in the one you have so that it pays off. It's not trading these things. It's just investing enough in what you have that it pays off. And when you live with a legacy mindset, God said this. He said, man, I want you to leave a legacy for your children and your children's children. Now, here's a shocker. If you leave your kids a pile of money, they're going to squander some of it. I've got a theory on this. I have a certain amount of money I want to leave my son so that when I'm dead and gone, he's set up to live his life well, right? I'm spending the rest of it, because if one of us is going to squander it, I figure it might as well be me. Right? But I not only want to leave my son a legacy of money, but I want to leave my son a legacy of integrity. And I want to leave my son a legacy of honor. And I want to leave my son an inheritance of faith. And I want it. So what I have to do is, if you're a man, you have to begin to work the legacy question backwards. What do I want to leave? Then how do I save and store that up for them? Now, here's the great thing. If you don't have kids, you're in a great position. But here's the other thing. If you've already got kids, it's not too late. I don't care if your kids are 30. You can go. You're still alive. You're still a dad. You still have something to impart in your children. Matter of fact, it's like this. If you're going to start out with a family, with a legacy for your family, you've got to start out looking at your family. Now, before any of the women shoot me, we're going to look at Colossians 3:18-25. Let me get to 19 before you start booing, okay? So we're going to take a quick look at that. Colossians 3:18. Now, if you come from certain faith traditions, they only teach verse 18 and not in context. So all the women, unclench your jaw, stop shaking your foot, stay with me for a minute. Here we go. Wives, submit to your husbands as fitting in the Lord. Verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. What God's talking about is this cyclical relationship, right? Where husbands are being good leaders and good stewards of their home, and they're loving their wives well, and they're watching how they talk to her. And not just how they talk to her, but how they make her feel. And in doing so, that wife is going to want to submit to her husband, because I don't mind submitting to somebody that has my best interests at heart. Like if you're advocating for me and you ask me to do something, even if I don't see it and even if I don't like it, I don't mind doing it because I know that you're as passionate about me as I am. Maybe more. Now, has anybody ever done the dishes? When we talk about a cyclical relationship, I'm not talking about dishwashers. I'm talking about old school. You got the scrubber. Okay, so you plug the sink up, you fill it up, you wash, right? And have you ever let the stopper out of the bottom and you get the whirlpool effect inside of it? That's a centrifugal force. That's a force pulling towards the center that's so strong that it creates a cyclical vacuum. What God's wanting to do is that when a husband loves his wife the right way and doesn't treat her harshly and defends her and protects her, and then in doing so, it bonds the wife to her husband where they're so connected, they create this centrifugal force that pulls them towards the God who created them. Now watch this. Verse 20 says this. Children, write this down. You're going to get a tattoo. This should be the first tattoo you ever get. Children, obey your parents in the stuff that makes sense. No, Scripture says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Every parent in the room said, amen, bless the Lord. Let this write on the tablets of their heart so that they remember it. See? Right? But then verse 21 says this, fathers. You know why he speaks to fathers and not mothers? Because fathers are the rhythm of the house. Now, I think women are the heartbeat. Listen, every dad knows when mom comes home, the whole house changes. You're watching the kids and it goes from like a zoo to, mom's home. Sometimes visiting a zoo is fun. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Now, this is not... Dads, correct your children. We're going to get to that. But Scripture says this. Fathers, as you deal with your kids, remember this, the leader and a dictator are not the same thing. A leader of a home is somebody who gets the home to go where they want it to because he convinces them that what he's training them to do is right. Now, when they're 4 years old, I'm not going to have intellectual conversations of the why of what we're doing. Just put your shoes on, boy. It's time to go. But when they're 14, if that's still your parenting method, as a dad, we have to grow and play the long game. Son, the reason we wear our shoes is, let's talk about why we wear deodorant. 14-year-old boys, right? Let's talk about why we take showers. So it says this, but you don't walk up and go, my gosh, son, you stink, you horrible, we're going to call you pig pen, what are you, right? And you start pulling them down, right? God always causes us to build our children up because we're playing to a legacy. It's the long game. Yelling is easier, but teaching is the long game. Verse 22 says this. He said, and bondservants, obey those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service, verse 23, as people pleasers, but sincerely with the heart of fearing the Lord. He said, man, I love the next verse, as a matter of fact. Verse 23, he says this, and whatever you do, heartily is unto the Lord, not for men. He said, man, that guys play the long game. Don't just live this life when you're with your family, because what men do is a lot of times we compartmentalize, right? Like we're one way at work, and we're one way at home, and we're one way with the boys, and we're one way, and we're one way. And what God is saying, since you've got one life, live it the same way all the time. He said, and when you go to work, you need to work as if you're working for God. You need to work your job as a plumber like you're working for Jesus. Like the same characteristics you would expect as a pastor, you need to have as a CEO. Lying's never okay. Cheating time is never okay. The position doesn't matter. I hear people all the time go, pastor, you can't live this life and be in the business world. And I argue, I'm like, man, but integrity is always integrity. Right is always right and wrong is always wrong. There's no situational ethics. God calls sin, sin, and righteousness, righteousness. So we start living one life all the time, especially as dads, we begin to set a tone for our house. Verse 24 says this. I love this. Man, it's one of my favorite scriptures. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive an inheritance as your reward, you are serving the Lord Christ, verse 25. He says this, "For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he's done, and there is no partiality." God said this. He said, you need to understand something, that with God, you're going to give an account of your life, and to those that live righteously, righteousness and blessing will flow. To those that do it wrong, wrong things will happen. Man, if you look and you go, man, my marriage and my kid is going bad, I'm just going to say this, it's probably because you're living a bad life. Nobody said amen, but it was good. A lot of times it's you. Can I say this? Every problem in my life, I always start by looking in the mirror and going, what do I, not they, need to do different? If my family treats me like a jerk, it could be possibly because I'm a jerk. Maybe I need to go read the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such things, there are no law. There's no recourse negatively to somebody who does those things. Maybe it's time as a dad, we look at how we're really raising our family. Are we raising our family the way that we want the legacy of our life to be? Now, here's my question. Are you hoping or training? See, I hope one day to look like The Rock minus the absentee of hair. But it's a hope because I'm not going to the gym regularly. So you don't get to look like The Rock by going to Zach's and not the gym. Well, here's the thing. Are you hoping that your kids turn out one way, but you're not training them to do that? Again, it's about the long game for men, right? Are we training to what we really want our family, our marriage to look like? Are we training ourselves? Are we training our children? Matter of fact, Proverbs 22:6 says this. Love this. Train up a child the way that he should go, and even when he's old, he won't depart from it. Now, people think that means your kids are never going to do anything wrong. Let me give you a spoiler alert. No. Women lose their mind somewhere between 18 and 24. You date the worst people you're ever going to date somewhere between 18 and 24. The parts of your story that you're going to leave out to your daughter until she's 31 is your 18 to 24 period of your life. Can I get a witness from any ladies in the house? And if you're sitting beside somebody you married 18 to 24, keep your hand down. Act like you don't hear any of this. Right on through. We'll make it the best Father's Day, right? Here's what it means. It means this. Boys lose their minds somewhere between 16 and about 34. Not an untrue statement. Most of our dumb things that we're going to do. So we're going to do one level of dumb at about 16 to 24. Generally, that involves cars. Cars, women, and substances. Can I get a witness? Then there's like this 20-something to 30-something when we finally settle down, but we're trying to figure out who we really are and how we're really going to live our life with integrity and legacy and all that stuff. And it takes us that long to figure it out. What I'm saying is, what if we skip all this foolishness? Now, this does not mean that you're not going to zigzag. My son bought a blue tick coonhound, and it's made to chase stuff. And one of the things that it chases is blood, and it chases iron and blood specifically. But what it is this, is that dog, we'll put him on this big pile of synthetic blood and we'll drag it so he's all through the woods trying to find it. But he'll start out and he'll smell it. And he'll know that that's the way he wants to go. He wants to go to whatever is in this track line, right? But what he has to do is he'll zigzag on it till he figures out where he's not supposed to go. And then once he figures out that straight line, man, he'll hammer it until he loses his spot. And then he'll zigzag till he finds it again. And then he'll hammer another spot. And that's the way kids go. Man, they're gonna have periods where they're trying to figure out their faith and they're trying to figure out their identity. And we're there to help them find the trail. And then when they find it, we're going to let them run until they lose it again. But you build integrity knowing this, that if I raise up a kid and all these things, who they are and what they're called to and how they're supposed to live their life and what their life is supposed to accomplish and what success looks like, and I leave a heritage and I leave a legacy, then even as they wonder, they will stay on course. The wonder is not the problem. It's just, do they get where they're supposed to go? Do they depart from it? They'll still wobble on it. Here's the thing, though. Here's a sticky point, though, is a lot of people train their kids up to be something other than what they are. So here's my question. Are you living out the legacy you want your kids to live out? Let's take a quick look. Romans chapter 2, 21 through 24. We're going to read this straight through. You then who teach others, Do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? When you say to one, you must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? Do you abhor idols but yet rob temples? Do you boast in the law and dishonor God by breaking the law? 24. For it's written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. In other words, the people that are far away of God don't get to God because you're too busy screwing God up for everybody else. Men, we have to live with integrity in how we raise our family. Do you tell your kid not to cuss, but then when you're around the boys, you cuss? Hey, I don't want my kid watching that kind of video, but then when nobody's around, you're watching that kind of video. Or you send them in the other room so that you can listen to this or say this or do this or talk about this. Or now, can we all agree that there are ages that our kids don't need to hear certain things? Yeah, I think like that just is stupidity. But there's a point when if you're raising your son to be this kind of man, are you that kind of man? Because he can't grow up to be anything that you're not. Not without defining who you are. I don't want my son to have to go get his own ladder. I want my son to put his ladder on my shoulder so that he can go further, higher, and faster than I ever got. That's legacy. That's when kids go further. I don't want my kid to have the same struggles and the same battles. Now, is he going to have his own struggles and battles? Yeah. But he doesn't have to have mine because he can learn from my mistakes. He can learn from my successes. He can learn from my struggles. He can learn from me. Because being a leader is not always about being right. It's about always helping somebody else be better than what you are. But it can only happen when we live a life with authenticity. When we live the long game. When we live to make our families something. What would you do if right now I asked you to close your eyes? You don't have to. But I said this, and I'm going to challenge every man who is involved in a family, who's ever going to have a family, to do this when you go home today. Because here's the thing. You ever notice on Mother's Day, everybody goes out to eat? Father's Day is National Grill Out Day. Like, we don't go out there with us and throw something on the grill, because we're dads. What if in that time you sit out on the back porch and you've got, you know, your sweet tea or whatever cold beverage you're going to drink today, and you're sitting out on the back porch and the radio's playing in the background. Hopefully it's playing 80s music, because I feel like there needs to be 80s musical worship. And you're sitting there, you're contemplating life and family. What if you stopped and said, what do I want my marriage to look like? Long game. Not only what do I want it to look like, what do I need to invest for it to become that? I've got these kids. My kid's 23. Like 9 foot tall. 200 whatever pound. Right? Oh, gigantor. I mean, his arms are longer than that, but it's not near as funny if you don't make a T-Rex arms. So I'm not raising a boy now, I'm raising a man. So how do I call things out in a man in the way that a man needs to hear them? What's that going to look like over the next 10 years? Because a man plays a long game, but a man always has a plan. Lord, how do I raise a man to be a man? Maybe you're a dad and you're struggling with what it's like to raise a little girl. Dad, God, how do I raise a little girl? How? I don't like Barbies. Can I be honest with you? I didn't like diapers either, but they came with the territories. Man, I just don't feel manly when I play tea party. I didn't feel manly when I was wiping somebody else's butt. You can't be cool and swipe. But I'm going to tell you this. When your wife walks by and she sees you changing the baby's diaper, you earn this weird word called respect. When your wife comes by or your family comes by and they see this big, burly guy playing tea party, you may not be cool, because God never made dads to be cool. I'm trying, but the older I get, the further away from cool I find myself. So I'll tell you what God did require dads to be. That's respected. They're not respected for anything other than this. They've got a plan and they're investing where it matters most. People in your life are going to come and go. Your job, and one day you're going to retire from your job, and all these people you invested time in 2 weeks we'll forget about who you are. You'll just be some dude who used to work here. If you're going to invest your life, you need to invest it in two places that counts most. One with God, and two with your family. Because it's the only thing that's going to give you a legacy return on your investment. But legacy can only come from a place of love. Two scriptures I want to end with. Proverbs 13:24 says this. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but whoever loves him is diligent to discipline him. The difference between discipline and a beating is love. Man, I'm not saying one way or the other, but I'm a pop your kid on the butt kind of guy. Because I think there's a direct connection between the gluteus maximus and the brain. Because there were some things my dad tried to explain to me when I was little that I did not get. But let me just clear something up. Shkapakum? I don't understand. I had this instantaneous understanding that is not something I'm going to ever do again. Where anybody can see me, at least. Anybody ever had that attitude as a kid? But your dad or mom popped you hard enough in the butt that even when you did it, you were looking over. You weren't sure if it was the Holy Spirit convicting you or something. Because if you really love your kid, you're going to discipline them. I'm not saying you've got to pop them in the rear. Can I be honest with you? Sometimes a timeout works. Sometimes yelling at your kids work. Sometimes my dad was epic. So he helped raise my nephew. And my nephew kept cutting up, had some problems. And my dad brought him home from school one day, picked him up, and pulled his belt off. Anybody remember that sound? I'm not even Catholic, right? Like that, but I'm like, if it helps, right? And here's what my dad did. My dad handed him the belt and said, spanking you doesn't work. So I'm going to do the same thing that God did for you. Here's what I'm going to do. You spank me the way that you deserve it. And he made my nephew spank him. Now, I don't know where that parenting was when I was little. I didn't get jack of that. My dad went with a different approach with me. But let me tell you something. To this day, my nephew remembers it. I remember it. Because that's a legacy mindset in the way that you raise your parents. I mean, the way that you raise your kid. Because here's the thing. Nobody wants their kid to pick a bad nursing home for us.
Right.
But let me ask you a question. How are you picking your kid now? Are you choosing them with time? Are you choosing them with covering? Are you choosing? And as dads, our job is to rise up to that place. Matter of fact, last scripture I want to leave you with, 1 Corinthians 13:1. Now, in this scripture, Paul's talking about tongues and prophecy. He's talking about all these spiritual gifts. He's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Like, Paul is on a tear, right? And he's like telling you all this spiritual stuff, but then he makes this statement. I think it's powerful. If I speak in the tongue of men and angels that have not love, I'm a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. Dads, if we're not doing everything we're doing because we love our family, we're devoted to our family on a level that we do, stop making noise, because all you're doing is getting in the way. Man, that's kind of harsh on a Father's Day. No, can I be honest with you? We're having a guy's talk right now. If we want warm and feely, we'll do Mother's Day. I've got a house full of type A men. If we start talking about our feelings, y'all are leaving it. Y'all are going to go, let's praise when we walk out the back door. Here's the reality. God is calling you to be a man. And nobody's ever told you what a man and a father looks like. I'm going to tell you today. Here's what it looks like. You need to play the long game. You need to play the game of where you're leading your family, where God wants you to take your family, so that when you're dead and gone, your family looks like what you think it should look like, and more importantly, what God thinks it should look like. Man, that sounds hard. It is. That's why it's a dad. That's why you're a father. And I'm going to say this. Men need to play. If you're a guy, people say, well, the scripture says when I was a child, I thought like a child, I acted like a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. That's true, but that doesn't mean you don't play. I still catch stuff on fire, wreck stuff, and blow stuff up just because it's fun. Literally, I bought a kid's birthday gift this week, bought a remote control car, and it was all I could do not to take it out and play with it and just put it back in the box. I'm just like, hey, Pastor, why is this not packaged anymore? I should open your kid out. Right? Now, we don't need to do that all the time, right? There are times when I feel frustrated with my family or with my job or with my son that I have to steal away and go get by myself. I did it this Friday. I got so annoyed. I was sitting in my office by myself. I was annoyed with the world and me. I got mad at me breathing too loud in my own office. But now I go, hey, I can't take this out on my family and I can't take it out on people in my church. What do I need to do? I canceled the rest of my appointments and I went home. Cut a little grass. Well, I talked about it. I never actually made it on the mower, but I did talk about it. I played with my dog. In a couple of hours, I was like, I'm good to be a dad again. I'm good to be a husband. I'm good to be a pastor. Because a dad not only knows what he can do, but he knows what he can't do. And he doesn't let what he can't do stop him from doing what he can do. My son does not want me working on his car. But he does need me cheering him on. He does need my wisdom. He does, right? So don't let, if you're dad here, don't let what you can't do dictate what you can do. So we come to close. I just want to pray over dads to start with, here and online. If you're a dad, or thinking about being a dad, or ever want to get married, or ever want to have a kid, once you're married, man, I just want to pray over you. Father, right now, for every dad who's here, every future dad, every granddad that's here. Father, for every one of us who's ever struggled to know what we're doing and feeling totally unprepared for the task and the calling that you placed on our lives as dads, Father, I pray for them. Pray that you let your Holy Spirit give them wisdom. Father, you said that if anybody needs wisdom, let them ask and you give it liberally. Well, today, Father, as men, we're asking our Father for His wisdom, your wisdom. God, I ask that you let us live lives that think about legacy, God, that think about the future, that think about how we need to act and what we need to train people in. God, I pray that as we raise up as men, as we raise up as dads, God, that we stand in the gap for our sons and our daughters, God, that we make a difference with our wives. God, we ask it in your name. If anybody's here today or watching online and you say, you know what, Pastor, I'm not only struggling as a dad, man, I'm just struggling. Or I'm struggling as a mom. Or I'm struggling as a single person. Or as a young person. What I really need more than anything is I need to accept Jesus for myself. If that's you this morning, will you just slip your hand up? Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Thank you so much. Can we just pray together? I think that not only do men run better in wolf packs, lone wolves always starve to death and are always sick. I think that men run better in wolf packs, but I think we pray together as a wolf pack, that we pray together as a group. So I'm just going to ask, for those that raise their hand, but really everybody across this auditorium and online, will you just pray with us out loud? Dear Heavenly Father, right now I invite you into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Make me right with you. Today I choose to follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you just give them a round of applause? That's the biggest decision we can make on Father's Day. So let's pray. Father, as we come to close, God, I just ask that you let this word find a deep seat in our hearts. God, raise us up as men. God, let us think in legacy terms. God, let us be the husbands and the fathers that you called us to be. Father, we just pray for those that are far away from you, God, to come to know you, God. And we ask that you use us as part of that commission, that you use each one of us as an individual and us as Thrive Church as part of that. God, as we give into your kingdom, God, let us be kingdom-minded. God, let us build your kingdom and not just ours. Father, we pray that you bless the gift and giver this morning. God, bless those that may not have a gift. God, that in everything, let us honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for being part of our Thrive Tribe. If you want to partner with this ministry and what the Lord is doing here at Thrive, visit thrivechurchonline.com and click on the Give tab. Help us reach more people just like you by rating and subscribing to this podcast. You don't want to miss what's coming next.